Now, you specialize in a particular form of printing, right?
Right. So we have a Risograph print shop. There's two of them right there. They look like copy machines.
They do look like copy machines.
They look like copy machines. But what's nice about them is that they have a kind of particular way that they operate.
Oh, good. Let's print something.
Okay. So on here, I'm going to unlock this. So these are the color drums that are here. So in this case, we have a red and a black. The last job that was on here was just black, so maybe not so interesting that they were printed together. But the idea is that the paper is stacked here, lays flat, and goes through like this as these rotate over them.
社長、これが例の理想科学の理想グラフでございます。
働くことは美しきかな。
操作は簡単。刷り上がりも美しいコピー感覚の印刷機ですね。慣れるもん。
Now, it's an interesting story about how the company even came to be. The Riso company was after World War II. They're a Japanese company, and a lot of the places where pigments were produced and inks were mixed were lost during the time in the 40s, right? And so this one guy and his family worked on trying to make another way of doing inks, and so they found a way to do like a soy-based. So it's water-based, actually non-toxic ink, and they found out a way to then also work with that with burning screens, basically using kind of like a banana paper, kind of like thin, kind of recyclable paper as the screens.
Japanese paper is so wonderful.
Super nice.
You know, it's so interesting that it takes such heavy machinery to produce something so light and ephemeral.
I know, right?
Isn't that odd?
I know.
Don't you love having lots of paper around? Mm-hmm.
Yes, I have maybe too much of it. Do you want to take some of this stuff?
No, thanks.
Let's see. All right, so now we can see.
Yeah.
This is the graphic that's going to be now produced. And now we're going to go ahead and make this master. So what happens is now is that there's a roll of this paper. It's going to roll it around this cylinder. And because I haven't used these drums in a little while, they have to ink. So that's what this is going to do for maybe like a minute. So it's going to get this nice and ready. All types of people come in. I think what's also nice about it is that we get to work with different types of groups of people that may not feel comfortable printing what they want to print. Sometimes you have the queer community that may not feel comfortable going to a place doing, then they'll come to me and we'll work on something together. And I think, and I like this kind of relationship that our organization is kind of built here in the city to show that we're open to anyone and everyone, and that's really nice. And it's also nice to be able to print a lot of personal works for people. And
that's a very special thing.
It is.
So do you feel like you're part of a community of book artists here?
I don't know, because I think book arts by definition is a bit different than...
A little different.
It is kind of different. It's a different thinking. Sometimes the books themselves are objects. I still come from maybe the opposite, where I'm like, the book should be useful. How it looks just depends on, I guess, the way the winds were at the time it was done. I'm not trying to make an artist statement with the book, because in the end, most of the work that I have to do is for other artists or other exhibitions. I'm not going to put my voice on everything. And I think that's what the difference is, maybe, because it is people making books as, I guess, pieces or poetics. While very interesting, I don't think this is what I'm really working on.
But what you're working on is very beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Cool.
This was so much fun.
Yeah.
Tune in every Tuesday at 7:44 a.m. during Morning Edition and 5:44 p.m. during All Things Considered for more of our bookish adventures. Thinking Outside the Book exists thanks to the generosity of the Hellas Foundation.